today on Real Radio.
Your salvation is only as good as Jesus living. Well, thank God the Bible tells us that not only did he make an offering once and for all, but he rose again from the dead, and he's your Savior, your advocate, your representative forevermore. You're only as saved as Jesus lives. Thank God your attorney lives forever.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Only God Can Save You Now, part 2 continues in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, with verses 5 through 11. In these verses, Paul encompasses everything about who Jesus Christ really is. He is God, the Savior, our Lord, and he came so that we might have eternal life. Paul also tells us that the Son of God came down to earth to become one of us. He was rejected, he was mocked, ridiculed, and scorned, and yet he chose to humble himself by dying on the cross for our sins. Why was it necessary for Jesus to become a human? It was because mankind had no representative before an offended God. For God had been violated and disobeyed by the sin of mankind, and nothing we could offer up to God would have been good enough to get us into heaven. Today, Pastor Jack tells us how just before Jesus died on the cross, he asked God to forgive us. His death and resurrection gave us access to God's grace and all of his promises. He also sent us the Holy Spirit to empower us in all that we do and to strengthen us for the battles to come. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Hebrews 8:1 or 9:1, it says, "Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected." Okay? Are you tracking with me, people? God erected a tabernacle. You say, "I thought Moses built one." Moses built a knockoff. I'm dead serious. Well, what about Solomon's temple? Knockoff. Did you know that? In fact, listen. Look at Hebrews, going down to verse 11. "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands." Listen, not made with human hands. "That is not of this creation." Verse 12, "Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all." That's awesome. "Having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a red heifer, sprinkled the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more," verse 14 says, "shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death." That is huge. Jesus died. Why do you have to die? Jesus had to die to implement a new covenant that was not written on stone or not in animal blood, but is written in heaven through the Word of God, Jesus, personified Word of God, and that it was qualified and empowered by the death of God himself. Absolutely awesome. The moment Jesus died, it's kind of cool. If you have a will or a living trust, I love the spiritual concept of a living trust, but a will do. What is a will? Is a your last will and testament. What is it? It's what you say while you're alive. Listen, on paper, it's reserved. It just sits there on paper until what happens? Someone's got to die. Okay, Lisa and I have a living trust. Why? What's the deal? Because we can write and change it anytime we want. We can put stuff down there and make sure it's all legal and stuff, but we put it down there that it's all recorded and done up. Why? And we speak now as though we were dead. Listen, didn't Jesus talk like that? Jesus said things like this. You take me and you beat me and you deny me and you kill me, you crucify me, but in 3 days I'll be risen from the dead. And Jesus said, if a man were to die believing in me, yet shall he live. As we'll see in a moment, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can come to the Father but through me. All words, ladies and gentlemen, they're all words. And at that moment, they were only words. Are you with me? I'm with all due respect, with all reverence, just hear me out. Even from the mouth of Jesus, they were just words until he died. And the moment he died, those words were put into power by the testament. Are you with me? But there's something even better. Because he rose from the dead, which makes it, as it were, a living trust. Jesus dies, empowers the words, then rises from the dead to be the attorney to make sure it's interpreted correctly and applied rightly, that nobody could rip them off. That's the kind of attorney you want to have. One who's going to be willing to die for what he's promised you, and so much so that when he's resurrected from the dead, he says, you just sit over here. What I promised you, I'll see to it. Listen, my name's on the line here. I'm eternal. I can't lie. I'm God. You just be the beneficiary of all this, another legal situation. You just wait right there. He dies on the cross for your sins, pays the debt you couldn't pay, and then rises from the dead to empower the argument of what he has done, to guarantee it all the way through time and eternity. How long will you be saved in heaven, ladies and gentlemen? Yeah, eternity. How sure are you of that? You want to know how sure you can be of that? Your salvation is only as good as Jesus living. Well, thank God the Bible tells us that not only did he make an offering once and for all, but he rose again from the dead, and he's your Savior, your advocate, your representative forevermore. You're only as saved as Jesus lives. Thank God your attorney lives forever. Man, that's nice. That's good. And the amazing thing is the Bible tells us that love compelled him to do this. The love of God compelled him. See, what does that mean? I mean, the love of God compelled him in the sense that the love of God drove him to the cross, not against his will, but in perfect harmony with God's will, God the Father's will, went to the cross, not resisting it, died there saying, someday we need to do a little mini-series on the last words of Jesus from the cross. They're amazing. What was one of Jesus' last words from the cross? Father, forgive them! They know not what they do. If you don't think Jesus is God, you need to meditate on that for a minute. If somebody would have crucified me, crucified. If someone would have crucified me, I would have been yelling, Father, fry them. They know exactly what they do. Cook them, right? Open up the bowels of hell and have them be swallowed and let them feel every moment of it. Come on, you look at me like you're so pious. You'd say the same thing. No, God on the cross says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But you need to write this down. I mean write this down or listen carefully, because I'm fearful you may misunderstand this. Don't misunderstand this. When Jesus says, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. And Jesus going to the cross for us. Did he not die for you? Yes, he did. Because you and I needed a representative, and you and I needed perfection, and you and I needed the offering, okay? But did you know theologically, Jesus Christ died for God? You say, what do you mean? No, not that God had sin. Of course, he's sinless. Well, how is it that Jesus died for God? Because all the promises of God are yes and amen through who? Jesus Christ. Jesus died for us. Allow me to exaggerate it this way. Jesus died for all of us sinners. Amen, right? But Jesus died for God this way. His death empowered all of the promises. See, God made the promises. But they're basically, until Jesus died and rose from the dead, they were basically theoretical. True to God, true as a fact, but not empowered for us, were they? Until Jesus died and rose again from the dead. It's beautiful. Because, you know, you and I kind of get bogged down in the weeds a little bit about, well, you know, I don't know if God, I mean, God loves my neighbors that are seated around me. I don't know if he loves me. Listen, you need, as I do, we all need to get that truth under our belt more and more, because it is a fact that it is true. If this helps you, then go for it. Jesus willingly entered into a contract as a bondservant to his master, his father, which he allowed to happen in full agreement. I will go be a human. I will die for them. I'll be risen from the dead to empower the promises. I'll be their sacrifice. Jesus so did that, that in doing that, made the word of God and the redemptive promises of the Bible power for us. And if you waver in your faith back and forth with that, I understand that. Just know this. He cannot lie against himself. He will do it. You say, I don't know about me. Forget about you. He will do it because it has been written, and so he performed it. So here's the good thing for you today. Why don't you get on board the train and go with us into the kingdom? Because only God can save you now. If you've had any other idea of getting into heaven, you were wrong. It's only Jesus. In 1 John chapter 2, 1 John 2, 1, the Bible says, My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an attorney, advocate, who pleads our case before the Father, who is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. And he himself is the sacrifice alone for our sins. And not only for our sins, but the sins of all or the entire world. What does this mean, and what does it not mean? Number one, Jesus died for us. Say amen, please. Number two, he died for all the sins of the world. Listen to this. You say, well, if Jesus died for all the sins of the world, isn't everybody saved? Nope. Well, wait, doesn't it say he died for all the sins of the world? Yep. Well, did he pay for the sins of the world or not? Yes. Watch this. Yes. Okay, look, is this a drum set? Okay, it's a drum set. I don't know what you know about it. I just know it's expensive. I don't know anything else about it. I know that it's behind this thing, okay? That's all I know. I don't know how to play that. I don't know how to, I can recognize the sound of it. We could all come back here to attempt to play this. It's cordoned off from us, but you can make it back here. You'd have to come back here. You'd have to take the invitation to go back there. It's kind of sequestered off, but you have to go back there. The offer is, will you come and play it? The drum's been provided. In fact, I know it's expensive because the church didn't buy this. A precious man in this church donated this. So look, it was paid for. Are you with me? Everyone, don't take this literally. The worship team would drive, I mean, they'll go crazy, but this is an illustration. Everyone's invited to come and hit on this, okay? But only some would take the offer. If you can play or not, it doesn't matter. You'd take the offer. I guess a better analogy would be, what if you're down at Newport Beach today and you're walking around and somebody walks up to you and says, hey, listen, you don't know me, but I just won the lottery in Chino Hills. and I just bought all these homes on the beach. And here's a key. Here's a key to that one right over there. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year and all that stuff. There you go. It's all yours. And the guy walks away. And you're holding the key. And you go, that's nuts. That's crazy. And you stand there and you criticize the whole act. You make fun of the key. And you throw the key over the pier into the water. and you walk away. Look, if you do that, you're dumb. Because there's enough crazy people in California where you should at least take the key. Exactly. And go stick the key in the door and see if it opens up. Wouldn't you do that? Look, I may be ugly. I'm not dumb. But some people look at the key and they go, that's ridiculous. And some people say, give me the key. Are you with me? If you go take the key and you unlock the door, that guy's no longer crazy. That guy that offered you that key, that's amazing. Jesus died for all the sins of the world. Listen, all sins have been forgiven at the cross. Only one. Jesus said only one sin will never be forgiven. It's called blasphemy of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. It's a doctrine, by the way. Did you know that? It's a doctrine. Remember the scribes and Pharisees? They came to Jesus and they said, we know what you're doing. You are doing this miraculous work. Jesus, you are doing this because Satan is doing it through you by the power of Satan himself. And Jesus said an interesting thing to them. He said that anyone who sins against the Son will be forgiven. Anyone who sins against the Father will be forgiven. But he who sins against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven in this world or in the world to come, the judgment. And if you read it carefully, he went on to tell them, you have committed this sin that's unforgivable for this reason. This is your doctrine of belief. You believe I'm doing this by the power of Beelzebub, Satan. And if that's your doctrine, then you'll never make it. Isn't that amazing? Jesus died for all the sins of the world. It's paid for. But not everybody goes to heaven. Why? Because there are some people just bent on going to hell. They won't take the key. I am sick and tired of people saying, well, your Christianity, your God, sending people to hell. God never said that. He never said that. In the book of Colossians, it suggests in the original language that for you to go to hell, you've got to crawl over the body of Jesus. That's tough, man. Every day you wake up and you deny and reject the witness of Christ. Every day. That's hard living, man. That's a rough way to live. Every day you're fighting and struggling. God can't exist. He can't exist. And you're off doing your stuff because you don't know God. You got to find some sort of identity in your abuse and your drunkenness, drugs, extramarital sex, whatever you're doing. You got to find fulfillment. You're searching. Listen, lovingly, I tell you, I'm not condemning you for doing those things. I'm restating your condemnation because Jesus says light has come into the world, but you love your darkness more than God, more than light. The Bible says we love sin. That's the number one hallmark of the Christian. It's not if you can walk on water or not. You know that. It's not if you can raise the dead or not. That'd be cool, but it's not the requirement. Jesus says, this is what you have to do. You have to do the works of God. And Jesus says, these are the works of God, that you believe on him whom God has sent. All of a sudden, anybody can do this, ladies and gentlemen. Why would you not do it? If he died for the sins of the world, then what is your problem? You are your problem. Oh, no, it's you Christians. No, it's not. Because we're telling you right now publicly, behind a microphone, we are bozo. We are nothing. We never asked you to believe in us. You're not supposed to believe in the church. Now, I know I'm stepping on some toes right now, especially for a service. Because first service comes here, and then they go to a local church down the street to have Mass. And they're told at Mass that the church, you've got to be a member associated with the church. It's the church. Notice who died on the cross. It was not the church. It was Jesus. So the question arises, couldn't have God figured out a better way to save us? Okay, so he died for everybody, and those who don't want to go, they don't go, and those who do if they come and trust Christ, but couldn't he have done a better thing? That's another critique I hear from people. Now, I don't know if you know this. Don't do it now, do it later, because it gets your blood boiling. Did you know that there are a young generation of people these days? They don't believe in God, but this is what they say online about God. They believe that God should be tried in cosmic court. Listen, I'm almost quoting them verbatim. That God, the God of the Bible, should be charged in a cosmic court because John 3:16 is proof that God is a child abuser. Yeah. And you say, excuse me? What? And they said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, you see. And where did the son go? To the cross. Yeah, you see, he abused his son. God's guilty of cosmic crimes. Okay, you have got to do a lot of dope, a lot of pot to get that kind of sickness. You've got to be really messed up. And technically, you actually don't have to do that much drugs. You don't have to do any drugs. You just have to be godless to think like that. Peter said, your conscience has been seared with a hot iron. You can't think right. I had a friend of mine who's Jewish tell me, I love everything you're telling me, but the fact that Jesus died and rose again from the dead, I mean, that's crazy. I mean, well, it's not crazy. He said, well, see, just because he died and you say he rose from the dead, that proves it. See, you don't believe in God, because the God of the Bible would never accept human sacrifice. I said, he didn't say it. Read your Bible carefully. God does not receive human sacrifice. You said, I thought you said Jesus became a man. I said, say the word became again. He became a man. Jesus was 100% God, 100% man. He came as Savior. That's how you and I are saved from our sins, because it was God dying in our place, not any angel or man, but because he associated with mankind, took upon himself the form of a man, flesh, he is risen from the dead. And I said, listen, the God of the Bible, Old and New Testament, does not receive human sacrifice. And if you want to push that envelope and view it your way, he only did it for a weekend. On Sunday morning, the tomb was empty. Father, we do pray for this, because the way the world is going, any moment now, any day now, any day now, we're either going to hear a trumpet blast, or we're going to see some Al-Qaeda, ISIS lunatic running down the street with a knife. I mean, any day now, for crying out loud. It's a good thing, Jesus, you said, don't fear those who can take your life on earth, but rather revere God, who has both the power to take your life and to cast it into hell. Well, what power is greater than that? Only one. That by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, that all those who put their trust in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is power. And no wonder the truth is, in the title, only God can save you now. Put your faith in him today. You'll never regret it. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Only God Can Save You Now. Thanks for listening today. And to all of you who put your trust in God, you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Did you know that Pastor Jack has a weekly devotional that's really helping a lot of Real Radio listeners out in their walk with Christ? Click on the Devotions tab at reallifewithjackhibbs.org and check out this week's devotions. Special devotions from Pastor Jack come to you once a week in your email box. You know, if you sign up for the devotional newsletter, you can get the devotions sent straight to your email inbox, so you don't need to have any reminders or anything like that. Or you can simply download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet and access the devotions that way. Make Pastor Jack's devotions a part of your week by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and then click on the Devotions tab. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.